It's time for our weekly political chat with the National Party's Jamie Lee Ross.
Kia ora, Jamie Lee. How are you today?
Hey, Kelly. Good to be with you.
You too. How was the conference over the weekend?
Oh, we're well. We had 600 members of delegates attending. They all went away happy, I think, and feeling as though Simon Bridges is doing a good job as leader. And I was pretty impressed with the announcements that Simon came out with too. They were about education, about children. Actually, it seems we tend to be at the moment in line with NZDI on the need for more smaller class sizes.
So is this to do with the charter schools?
There were two announcements. Firstly, that National would re-establish charter schools and probably expand them. We feel as though those charter schools, where there's a niche there, where it serves kids, they should continue. But also the second announcement on Sunday was about the fact that in the longer term, Simon Bridges is of the view that we should be funding education in a way where we can deliver smaller class sizes. There's a number of issues which can assist with children getting a better education. One of them is smaller class sizes, and arguably there should be more funding that's targeted to schools rather than the untargeted funding that we think the government's doing. And by targeting it to schools in a way where we can reduce class sizes, we think we'll get better outcomes for young people. So that's some signalling from us about what we'd like to do in the future, and we're going to work more on that policy over the next 2 years.
And obviously this conference was kind of a time for you guys to make some new policies, make some new changes. Apart from the education stuff, is there anything else we can look forward to from you guys?
Well, those are the two big announcements from the party leader. But you're right, party conferences are good after you've moved from government to opposition to regroup and re-strengthen. And I think what we realised coming together, the 600 delegates, is that we're still a strong party. We still have good values. The economy is something that is important to us because we know that a strong economy leads to more jobs for people and better outcomes for families. And that was a key theme that came through the conference as well. And you know, if we can continue to work on policy over the next couple of years, we think there'll be quite a good platform to put forward to the electorate in the 2020 election.
Speaking of the 2020 election, there was a little bit of back and forth between some members at the National Conference about Winston Peters and people saying that National dodged a bullet by not going into a coalition with him. Is that something that is off the cards then for the next election if he is in that position of kingmaker again?
Well, it's probably too early to say that, but I think what is being reflected is that when a government is formed that has Winston Peters at the heart of it, which is the case this time, it can always be quite tricky. And I think, you know, we saw this week where the Green Party effectively abandoned their principles just to ensure Winston Peters was happy. It's a good example of how Winston Peters can operate in government. Now, look, there were lots of commentators saying Winston would be difficult when he had his 6 weeks as Prime Minister, and to his credit, he kept it all relatively calm. But that doesn't change the fundamental fact that Winston Peters, as Deputy Prime Minister in the government, is often destabilising and often is someone who puts a large amount of demands on the table and doesn't give much back. And you know, the Green Party have completely flip-flopped on some key important democratic principles. They only did that for Winston Peters. There's also a lot of funding being thrown at the New Zealand First Party and some of their initiatives, like Shane Jones' $3 billion for the Provincial Growth Fund, which isn't actually going towards you know, well-designed programs. It's a slush fund. And those types of policies we would have always been concerned about. And so what has probably been reflected is that a lot of our members feel as though fourth-term national government, with Winston Peters effectively running the show, probably would not have been so good for the party in the longer term. But ultimately, we still believe we have good values to bring to government, and we will do everything we can in 2020 to get as high a party vote as possible to be able to lead the next government, with or without Winston.
There has been a bit of back and forth between Winston and Paula Bennett on Twitter. Do you think Twitter's a good place to kind of air your political debates?
Well, if anyone believes that Twitter is a good medium for high-quality political debate, then they should really reconsider where they're debating.
I agree. Maybe words with Paula.
Twitter is one of those things where you fire from the hip and there's a small niche audience that you know, follows politics. But, you know, that's a small part of communication. I think the really good work that Paula Bennett does every day talking to real Kiwis is most important. She actually did a very good speech at the conference, and it was all about national values, and it was about how we're able to deliver good outcomes for families, and that we can maintain unity, and by continuing to be united, we can do good things for the country. And I was pretty impressed with that.
Moving on to the family justice system panel that Andrew Little has recently created, he's saying that there's been some changes that have need to happen after National kind of in the last 2014 election when they were in power, when you guys were in power, that there are some changes that need to occur there. Do you think that's a fair comment from him?
Like, I think he's kind of picking up the review work we were about to commence, or if we won the election, we would have commenced anyway, around the family court. There were some reforms done in 2014. They were designed to try and reduce the need for lawyers, streamline the processes, make it easier for families to go to the family court without having to have lawyers, and enable them to talk directly to judges. There was a concern at the time that lawyers benefit from litigation and from drawn out processes. And so if we could streamline the simple stuff and enable disputes to be resolved quite quickly through a disputes resolution process, then that'll benefit people.
Which he has said he's completely acknowledged that, but then he said that's meant that there's been a huge increase in the number of urgent without notice applications that have to go straight to a family court judge, which can be, you know, which can end up in a hold up really, and which is the whole point of you know, the legislation in the first place.
Well, there was also streamlining done, which would enable families to get in front of judges earlier and quicker and easier too. But I think it'd be a mistake to just assume because some changes were made in 2014 that automatically is the cause of an increase in those particular cases. A review is going to be good for ensuring that we look at it, we see what is working and what's not, and put some reasonable people in charge of that. So look, our position would be that generally we were probably going to do a review anyway. We would support the review, but it's important to understand the reasons why people are ending up in that position, not just trying to make some changes to stop a number of applications. You have to delve down deeper and understand what's the drivers here, what's happening within families, what's the nature of those cases. And so a review that we would have picked up anyway is probably going to be good for that. Ultimately, it needs to be about reducing barriers for people to get access to justice, and also ensuring children are well looked after, because these types of cases that go before the family court can be pretty traumatic for children. So if he can achieve that, then there's probably something reasonable we might be able to look at and possibly support, but it's all a bit yet unknown.
What's coming up in the week ahead for you?
The week ahead for us, look, we're spending quite a bit of time at the moment still pushing back on the government's electoral reform changes. The reason why we're really concerned about the electoral integrity bill, they've called it, is because it effectively allows party leaders to decide who gets to stay in a caucus and who doesn't. There's a pseudo process that would be applied where a caucus votes, but party leaders have a strong influence over party caucuses. And we're really concerned that if voters elect somebody to the parliament, then those people should be free to speak their mind and work on behalf of the people that elected them. And for a party, or for the government to be passing a law with a slim majority, changing the way in which members of parliament can express themselves in a democracy, we think that's pretty dangerous. And I think it would ultimately see a curtailing of people expressing views in the parliament. I'm surprised the Greens have been supporting it, but it seems to be the price of them being in government. But we're going to continue opposing that, because we think in a democratic country, MPs elected to serve people, to serve the voters, should be able to speak their minds freely and not be fearful of a party leader.
Well, we will look forward to chatting a bit more about that next week then. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks, Kelly.
No worries. See you later.
That was the National Party's Jamie Lee Ross. The Wire.